Quick question. When was the last time you sent a fax? Anyone within the last 5 years? One? How about a telegram? So our ways of communicating have changed so dramatically in our own lifetimes. We've had several of these paradigm shifts of communication. Think about Paul Revere, the legend of Paul Revere. The British are coming from horseback from community to community. If you told Paul Revere to just send a group text, he would look at you with a face that has no idea what you're talking about. I imagine that's what Nicodemus's face looked like when he was talking to Jesus. Our gospel, which of course features the most famous scripture, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that all who believe in him may not perish but have eternal life," John 3:16, is couched in this larger conversation between Nicodemus, a Pharisee, a leader of the Jews, and Jesus. Nicodemus comes to Jesus by night so as not to be seen by other religious leaders, and he comes, I think, with a genuine curiosity. Unlike other interactions that Jesus has with Pharisees and religious leaders, Nicodemus is not trying to trick Jesus. He's seeking to understand. He's heard of the things that Jesus has done and says, "No one who has done the things you have done can do so apart from God." And they have this interaction. And Jesus says to Nicodemus that he must be born, to enter the kingdom of God, you must be born from above, or other translations say, must be born again. And that's when Nicodemus's face goes blank. He's living in the world of fax machines, and Jesus is talking about text messages and Signal. Nicodemus has no idea the spiritual level and depth that Jesus is talking about. How can one be born again? Do you re-enter your mother's womb? Sounds painful. He doesn't get it, that spirit cannot be inherited from flesh. This is a paradigm shift, a change of thinking that Nicodemus is not equipped for. Think of it this way. You could still send a fax today. The church has in the office a fax machine. If you find our official church letterhead, you'll find our fax number. It still works. In fact, we had to unplug the fax machine because telemarketers kept sending us stuff. That's the only thing that ever came through on our fax machine. But it still works. It's just a little outdated, right? And that's kind of, I think, what Jesus is saying to Nicodemus. It's not that your beliefs and understanding of the way God works is wrong. It's just simplistic. It's outdated. So two things. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that all who believe may not perish but have eternal life. For Nicodemus, there are two things in that statement in John 3:16 that require a shift, a paradigm shift of understanding. For God so loved the world. Up until this point, there was an understanding that God chose the Jewish people. Out of all the people of the earth, they were chosen. They had a covenant with God, a relationship that distinguished them from everyone else. And the Jewish people, by custom and by law, did certain things or didn't do other things that set them apart. Whether it was the food they ate, how they worshiped, circumcision, whatever the case might be, the message that Nicodemus and the religious leaders of Jesus' day had inherited and believed was that they had been distinguished by God for a special relationship. Jesus says, "For God so loved the world." And in the ministry of Jesus, we see time and time again, Jesus breaks through the boundary of Jewish and Gentile, of in and out. Jesus specifically travels through the areas of Samaria. He heals foreigners. He makes sure not only that the people in those places that have been excluded from this special relationship with God are included, but that the disciples who journey with him understand that God is doing something new. That God's love and the desire of God to have a relationship is with all people. For God so loved the world. That's a change of thinking. And that being in right relationship with God is no longer trying to determine who's on my team and who's not, but how can each person, the world, every single person know that they are loved by God? That becomes a paradigm shift. That becomes a mission orientation for the church. God loves the world. No exceptions, no distinctions. Secondly, Jesus redefines what it means to be the Messiah. The word Messiah literally means anointed one. The disciples, as well as Nicodemus, were expecting God to send a Messiah into this world. They weren't expecting a Savior, one who would forgive all sin, one who would atone for our brokenness with God. We might think this is a given. The Messiah that the Jewish people, the disciples, we see time and time again that they are confused by what Jesus is saying when he says the Son of Man must undergo great suffering and death, even to the point of the cross, and on the third day be raised again. They cannot wrap their head around it. This is a new way of thinking. The Jewish people were expecting a Messiah who would come and restore the kingdom of David, that would drive out the foreign occupiers, the Romans, through military force, presumably, and would reign as king. I've always had, and Melody knows this, I've always had a bit of an uncomfortable tension with this language of Jesus as king. Because an earthly king is all about power and control, and Jesus' kingdom is not of this world. Jesus is reigning in the sense that his kingdom is a reality, but he's not hoarding power over other people. He never is about self-enrichment and control. Jesus, as the anointed one, as Messiah, came to save us, to give us the promise of eternal life, and not for the good people, not for those who've done just enough good things to merit God's acceptance. Jesus came that all who believe may not perish, but have the gift of eternal life. The paradigm shift of Jesus as Savior, and as Lutherans, we confess this, by grace, through faith, apart from works of the law. This is a radical idea of grace, that we should be treated before God as beloved, despite our many flaws, despite our sin and brokenness, and that that's God's attitude for you and for each person, that we can be accepted and loved by God no matter what. Nicodemus leaves his conversation with Jesus, no doubt confused. Now, my surmising is that Nicodemus is part of the early church. One of those little clues is when you get a person who's named, it's not just the faceless Pharisee who came to talk to Jesus, it's Nicodemus. And that maybe after Jesus' death and resurrection, Nicodemus started to make sense of what Jesus was saying, to be born from above. And the truth is, these paradigm shifts that happen in our lives and in our world, sometimes we need some time to sort them through. We need a moment to understand what is happening and adapt. And, you know, some of us are still sending faxes in our spiritual life. But if we're open and we're willing to trust God, marvelous things can happen. Our first reading featured sort of the introduction to Abram, later known as Abraham. God chooses Abraham, and Abraham and Sarah are in old age. They've never had children. God promises Abraham that he will be the father of many nations. In fact, all the nations of the world will tie their heritage, their lineage to him. Imagine being 80 years old and never having children, and God says, I will make you the father of all nations. Sometimes we think of life as, I'll believe it when I see it. For Abram, it's, I believe it, then I'll see it. He starts with faith. He starts with trusting God's word. He doesn't need to see the plan because he trusts the messenger that is actually God speaking to him. So he takes a leap of faith because he has the faith of leap. He's willing to leave home, leave all of his possessions, all of his property, and go on this journey that he doesn't even know where he's going. God calls us into relationship. God calls us to change our thinking about ourselves and one another. That we are called to live in a world where it's not us versus them. It's not a zero-sum game that if in order for me to get ahead, you have to fall behind. Living in God's grace means there's enough for everybody. That God's love and grace means that we are all part of the same human family. I don't have to force you to think the way I do. I can invite you into dialogue and discussion because we have mutuality and respect because of our grounding in who God created us to be. As people of faith, we don't have to operate like the world does. We are people of spirit, people of faith, and we can live according to the vision of Jesus' teaching. And inch by inch, person by person, the world can be transformed by God's amazing love and grace. Like Abram, we're called to step out in faith, not knowing where we're going or what the outcome will be, but trusting that God will be with us and God will guide us along the way. May we have that faith May we have that hope. May we have courage. Amen.